Welcome to the Jennings Wire Online Magazine podcast series, where we feature interviews with top authors and experts. My name is Stacey Emerald Kaufman. I'm the radio director of Annie Jennings PR, the national firm behind the online feature magazine sensation, JenningsWire.com, a special community of bloggers and podcasters that's capturing the heart of America. There's nothing like it on the web, and we invite you to visit JenningsWire.com to discover the blogger that is just right for you. And today's guest is Bob Thompson, the founder and editor-in-chief of the online community CustomerThink.com, which helps business leaders understand how to succeed with customer-centric business strategies. He has just published a new book, Hooked on Customers, which reveals the 5 organizational habits of top-performing companies. So welcome, Bob.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you.
It's a pleasure to have you. So let's talk a little bit about Hooked on Customers. What is the purpose of the new book? Why did you write it? What problem are you trying to solve?
Well, the purpose is really just to summarize the research I've been doing for nearly 15 years now about this pretty fuzzy idea of customer centricity. If you ask 10 people what it means, you probably get 13 different answers. So one of my goals is to help clarify what the term means. But really, the bulk of the book is about identifying what is different about the companies, the top-performing companies, the ones that we talk about, Amazon, Southwest Airlines, USAA, Zappos, these companies that seem to have it figured out. What's different about companies like that? What are the practices that they exhibit that helps them perform better?
And Bob, in your experience, what would be your definition? Not the one of the 13 definitions, if you ask the 10 people, which may not even be your definition. What is your definition of customer centric?
Well, first of all, I would just advise companies that that feel that being customer centric is important to really have that as an internal discussion, because I've talked to a lot of companies and a lot of my colleagues in the industry, and really it's all over the map. So I'll start with I'll tell you what I believe it should mean, and that is very simply that a customer centric business creates value for customers in a way that eventually creates value for the company and its stakeholders. So it's really about value creation. To say it a little bit differently, I was speaking in an event recently, and they were asking me again, well, what are you talking about? And I said, well, maybe even a simpler way would be serving customers in a way that creates value for the company, revenue and profits. So there's nothing complicated about that idea. In practice, though, there are lots of shades of gray. I came up with 4 stages of maturity or evolution as companies tend to grow and evolve over time. And at one end of the spectrum, companies that use the term customer-centric can mean that it's we're targeting our customers. We know them individually, and we can sell more products and services to them because we understand them better. At the other end of the spectrum, though, the top companies, it's more about innovation and looking for ways to exceed what their customers expect. So it's quite a spectrum, and it's important for companies to really have that internal discussion.
Bob, I would think that it would definitely be the innovation, how customers feel, just understanding how customers feel walking away. Sure, you may understand your customers, but maybe the service they get doesn't make them feel good or feel like they were really centric to all of to the experience, right? So I agree with you, and I know Amazon definitely is a company that I feel as a customer, and it's, I'm sure a lot of listeners are, of Amazon, they're right on the money with those sorts of things.
They are, and it really does come down. I think you're exactly right. It in the end, the top companies are after that feeling. They want this emotional engagement.
Mm-hmm.
And so part of the secret of customer-centric firms is they understand what drives customer loyalty. Genuine loyalty is not just about keeping them, because we all have situations, whether it's our cable company or some utility where we're retained, we keep doing business, but we don't really like the company that much. Genuine loyalty includes another component, which is about this emotional connection, having great experiences, cool products, whatever it is that's valuable to the company, and doing it in a way where they say, wow, that's fantastic.
And in your book, Hooked on Customers, you talk about 5 habits. What are these organizational habits, and how do they work together?
Well, I'll just mention each of them briefly, there's a lot of science and a lot of work that goes behind each one. But the five habits, just quickly, are listen, think, empower, create, and delight. And so just briefly, listen is, we've already talked about listen a little bit. It's understanding what customers really value and then getting feedback so you understand how you're performing against their expectations. So voice of customer programs would be an example of that. Market research would fit in there. Think means making good, objective, fact-based decisions, which sounds weird just to talk about that. Like, why would that be a problem? But companies tend to get into ruts. They make decisions based on history or myths or whatever. Just, we always did business this way, and great companies are questioning and making good decisions. They use analytics and data to augment good human decision-making skills. Empower means giving resources the authority and empower means giving employees the authority and the resources that they need to please customers. So, you know, they're not having to ask for every little thing. Go to their boss and say, hey, could I make this accommodation to take care of my customer? Create is about innovation, and the best companies do it without being asked. So think about Apple. They didn't go out and ask people, you know, tell me exactly what kind of new cell phone you want. They dug deeper into the needs, wants, and desires, you know, desires like being cool and, you know, being at leading edge, and came up with a product that met those desires, that it wasn't just being reactive. And delight is, to me, the most important thing, because in the end, it's the perception that customers have that, hey, that was great. That exceeded what I was expecting. And if you can do that often enough, then you're going to create more of a genuinely loyal relationship.
Which one of those five habits do companies find the hardest to get right?
Well, my research finds that as companies mature, and in fact, Intuit's probably the best example of this, and I talk about them at some length in my book. You know, they tend to figure out that it's important to listen, do research. They react and fix problems. They work on empowering their employees. And those tend to be good to deliver what people expect, what customers expect. And that's great because a lot of companies don't get that far. But the really top-performing companies are expert at create and delight. And this is quite challenging because, you know, create means innovation. It means coming up with something new. And a lot of companies really struggle with that because they have businesses that they're protecting, or they have employees that, you know, just like doing things a certain way. And so coming up with new products and solutions is challenging. That's why, you know, truly innovative companies are somewhat rare and few and far between. And delight is about this exceeding expectations. And that's tricky because those who say that's a bad idea will say, look, we can't afford it. It's just too darn expensive. We can't literally exceed customer expectations in every interaction. And that's true. But good companies figure out a way to do it in a responsible way, to bring in people, to bring in technology or little extras. And you can create delight without breaking the bank. So those are the two that I would say really set apart the top companies, but you have to have the other ones straight first. You know, as I like to say, you have to make sure you're answering the phones before you try to wow your customers.
Right, and I think what companies don't realize is that little bit of investment, maybe going the extra mile, then turns into money down the road. Right? I mean, that's exactly right.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's so-called loyalty effect where, mm-hmm. you know, it's not just about getting a sale in one transaction. You're looking at the long-term value of that relationship, and the more that you can create this positive feeling, the more the customer is going to come back and buy again. But they're also going to tell their friends and family, you know, publicize it on social networks. And this is free marketing. So you want to have that kind of multiplier effect.
Well, Bob, you've got a lot of wonderful strategies and tips and techniques for our business owners out there, and then employees within the businesses too, to make suggestions to your higher up. Say, hey, why don't we focus in on innovating now and taking the next step and taking our customers to the next level, going that extra mile. But we're running out of time, Bob, so I want to thank you for being here with us and tell our listeners that they can learn much more about Bob Thompson and his new book, Hooked on Customers, at the website hookedoncustomers.com. And you can find Bob's online community at customerthink.com. So thanks again, Bob.
Thank you, Stacy. It's been my pleasure.
This podcast is presented by Annie Jennings of the national publicity firm, Annie Jennings PR, the creator of Jenningswire Online Magazine. Jenningswire is capturing the heart of America with its rich community of talented, insightful, and relevant bloggers and podcasters. So please visit Jenningswire.com and discover the blogger that's just right for you. Till next time.